Good evening, class. We want to pray and get started. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that the open eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, we started on the leadership aspect of the God's government. Tonight, we're going to get a little bit further into it. We're going to focus on leadership. We're still in the same chapter that we started in last week. As we understand, this is not a natural government. It's a spiritual government. It's a supernatural government. And so we have to know how to operate in this supernatural government. We go back to our basic scripture. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 17, Ephesians 2 and 17. It says, and came and preached peace to you which was afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more foreigners, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I want to go a little bit further in that aspect of it so you can see verse 22 again, where it says, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. But it takes training. That takes learning how to operate in this kingdom, under this kingdom government that God has set up. God himself is the one who set it up, so he's the one who's through his apostles, through his prophets, through his pastors, evangelists, and teachers, he's trained us how to operate in this kingdom. God's household rests upon the foundation of our leadership of the apostles and prophets. This design allows the body of Christ to be built up into a holy temple and ultimately become a dwelling place of God. Become a dwelling place of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Many of the churches today has empowered the wrong portion of the list that we listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, has empowered the wrong portion of the list. They've empowered the pastor, the teachers, and evangelists. So we keep expressing, since we haven't been trained, we haven't been taught about this apostolic anointing, this prophetic anointing, so we want to keep enforcing. The Word of God says, so then faith, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith coming by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So as we continue to hear it, and hear it, then we can have faith for what God is showing us right now. God is the one who's reestablishing his government in the church and in this kingdom system. As we go back and we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at 28, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and says, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So again, I say the church today has empowered the wrong end of this spectrum in the church. So that's why one of the reasons that we are not seeing these signs and wonders and miracles that God say that would be manifested in the church. And the reasoning behind the that they have set up the wrong end of this government is that it's not a spiritual reason, it's an earthly reason. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul began to minister again. We're going to look at Apostle Paul tonight in many aspects. He's the apostle who wrote doctrine for the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 18, it's not a spiritual reason, but it's an earthly reason. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul began to say some things. He said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. For the wisdom of this world, verse 19 again, he said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So when we set up our government in the church, we are setting up what we think from our own knowledge, from our own understanding. But God didn't set it up this way. He set it up as apostles. So we haven't been taught. We actually have not been taught this apostolic government in the church. And so since we haven't been taught, we have no knowledge of it. We have no understanding of it. Turn to two scriptures here in Acts chapter 1. At the beginning of the church, when the church was first forming. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfast. That was after they had got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit had came. He had dwelled them. He told them they was going to receive power after the Holy Ghost came. Then they start socializing together, going from house to house. And in verse 42, it says, Acts 2 and 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many signs and wonders. So every time I see this, I wonder what happened to all those signs and those wonders and those miracles that the Bible speaks about. So they continued. They was in the apostles' doctrine, so they began to see those signs and those wonders. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Looking at verse 12. Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 12. And it says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they was all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And many signs and wonders was wrought by the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. What I did, I went through and I looked out some of the attributes of an apostle, some of the things that he did. I made a list of them. I told you that I was going to put it up on the internet. I haven't had a chance to put it up, but I can read off some of the duties executed by the apostles. I'm going to give you five tonight, and maybe in the next class I'll give you some more of them. Some of the duties that's executed by the apostles. First of all, the apostles are gatherers. They gather. The apostolic anointing is a gathering anointing. Apostles gather people for the purpose of teaching, training, and mobilizing them to fulfill the purposes and plans of God. They have the charisma to attract people for the purpose of the kingdom. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So one of the duties of an apostle, he gathers people. As you look around LTMA, you see the apostle has many ministers that's gathered around him, and he's training them, he's teaching them how to operate in this kingdom government. And as they are being trained, what Ephesians 4:11 tells us, it says, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some teachers, pastors, and evangelists. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the first, just the three part. Until we all come into the stature and the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's the end part. So eventually we're supposed to come and be just like Christ was when he walked the earth. He walked in the earth to what? Destroy the works of the devil. And the only way we're going to see these works of the devil being destroyed here, when he walk into the enemy's territory, we can begin to see those signs and those wonders in operation. Signs and wonders mean that I'm witnessing. I'm showing forth something that has happened in the kingdom. The kingdom of darkness has been eliminated, and the kingdom of light has come forth. If sickness and disease is eliminated, that means I got health and wellness for my body. That means darkness has been eliminated in that area. If I'm lack and poverty has been eliminated in my life, that means prosperity and wealth has come into my life. And so the kingdom of heaven has come to me. The second part, number two, like I said, it's about 20 different things, duties that's executed by the apostle. Number one was a gatherer. Number two, he imparts. An apostle have an ability to impart spiritual graces to the saints. This impartation enables the saints to fulfill their calling and destinies. It helps them to fulfill their callings and destinies. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 11, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Romans, the Roman church here. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. So even, again, we have a personal example here. We're seeing it. It's not, we don't have to go back to the book of Acts to see this in manifestation. I see this in Acts. Every member who's a member of LTMA, there's an impartation call that the apostle calls out to every minister that's in the LTMA. And on Tuesdays, the first Tuesday of every month, he begins to impart these graces, these gifts that God has put in them. We call them gifts. We call them graces. God has put these graces in these fivefold ministry gifts so that they can impart these graces to the body of Christ. It's an impartation that takes place. When you sit under an apostle, you don't just be sitting under to listen. You sit under so that those graces and gifts can be imparted to you so you can operate in those gifts the same way the apostle. It didn't say that you was an apostle. It said that you're able. You have the ability to operate in these graces. The same graces come off on you that's on those apostles. Because what he's doing, as he minister, that impartation is coming off on you. The third one is, like I said, I'm going to cover five of them tonight, and then we'll go back to our lesson. The third one is to mobilize. Apostles have the ability to stir up and mobilize the army of God. People need to be gathered and mobilized to fulfill the Great Commission. So as he are calling people together, like we all here sitting here tonight, we are being mobilized. We're being trained to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. It's not just by accident that you're sitting in these classes receiving information. God has put in your heart that this is something that you want to do. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that is what we should be doing at this time. And so we are sitting here, we're being trained, we're being immobilized so that we can go out and fulfill the Great Commission. That's God's plan, that's God's will for this earth. Jesus commissioned all the apostles when they first went out, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, and they that believe shall, what do you say? Shall see signs of Matthew 28. Turn over there right quick and then we'll turn back. That's number two, to immobilize. Matthew 28. Always go to 20. Go to Mark. I like Mark. I like Mark's way he put it. Mark 16, looking at verse 15. So if we're being immobilized, he immobilized the apostles, and the apostles is mobilizing people, the body of Christ, to go out and do these things. He said, Mark 16 and 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, here we go again, shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's Jesus. Jesus speaking. It's read in my Bible. So that means Jesus is speaking. He's commissioned us to go forth and do these things. He spoke these things into the world system, into the atmosphere. And if God has said it, remember last week we had that our meditation scripture, say God's word, whatever he said, whatever go forth out of his mouth, it shall accomplish, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. So he gave it to us, he put his word out there, and apparently he thought we could do it, otherwise he wouldn't have put it out there. So he put it out there, he told us to go and do that. So we're hearing, we're getting all this good information. But over in James was an apostle, and one of the things he said, be not a hearer of the word only. He said, but be a doer. He said, because if you just hear the word and don't do it, he said, you forget what type of man you were. That means that you're not practicing your skills that God has given to you. And so by faith, if God told me that I can lay hands on the sick, that means I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm not laying hands, making them well, but God himself, the zeal of the Lord, shall perform this. So God said, I'm the one who's doing this. All I need you to do is be obedient what I told you to do. And as you do what I told you to do, then I'm the one who's going to do the works. God is saying, I'm the one who does it. You don't do it. So you don't concern yourself by when you lay hands on the sick and you don't see them jump up and start running. And you say, well, it didn't work. That's not what God said. He said, do it. And when he say do it, that's what we're to do. We're to do what God say do. And as we do that, then God say, I'm the one who performs those signs and those miracles. If Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And as I do, the Father does it. And he's the one who do the work. And so, like I said, we get stuck in our heads and in our minds that we're the ones, we're the great lay of hands. And since we are the great lay of hands, we're supposed to see these signs and wonders manifest. But God said, you do it, and I do it through you. If you have faith that what I told you to do, and it will manifest in people's lives. Amen? It's the order. Apostles bring order and government to the church. The apostolic anointing is a governing anointing. Government is necessary to facilitate the flow of God's power and anointing. So we've been teaching about this apostolic anointing. We've been telling you about the apostles is going to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on earth and bringing heaven to earth. So over in 1 Timothy, what we find out in 1 Timothy, that scripture over there. Let's see if I can find it. Second Timothy, turn it to 2 Timothy 3, 16. We go off on these little side joints, but it's all good information, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And 16, it says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. See, all scripture is profitable, is given, first of all, by inspiration of God. So God is the one who gave men inspiration to put these words into scripture. And then it's say all of them is good for what? It's first of all for it's profitable for doctrine, so we can teach from these things, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And as we've learned here in our, as we've been being trained in this kingdom and in kingdom doctrine, we've been taught how to break this part of it down. The first part is for doctrine, first of all. And doctrine is the established order of God. So we've been trained in the established order of God. God's government, God's established order is that apostles are first. They are the foundation. It says it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So doctrine is the established order of God. So he said it continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they was continued steadfastly in the established order of God. This is how God operates. And since God operates like this, this is how we're going to operate. Reproof. Reproof says dismantling of erroneous teachings and erroneous thinking. Dismantling, remove it. We said what we do when we started this class, one of the things that we said was we're going to remove that old wineskin. Because you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. So that which we learned had already in us, we're going to tear it down. We're going to break it up. We're going to break it up like old concrete. And when you lay down concrete, if it's old, you remove that old concrete so you can pour in some fresh concrete. So what we're saying is we're putting new information in you. We're learning you a new way of doing things. We're dismantling old erroneous thinking and putting in the new way of thinking, new way of teaching. A correction is the assimilation of truth in thought process. The assimilation of truth in thought process. And you know, with the scripture says, and the truth that I know sets me free. So we're going to put the truth, make sure that what we're hearing, that's why we give you so many scriptures. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So what we're doing, we're assimilating truth in thought process and instruction. The systematic application of God's word into one's life. Systematic application. That's why when we go to Ephesians 4 and 11, he's saying, I gave some apostles and I gave some prophets and I gave some evangelists and I gave some pastors and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. That means they got to be trained. We got to be trained. So it's a systematic application of God's word into your life. So it says it's a line upon line, precept up on precept. So we're learning. We're not just scatter shooting this thing. We're shooting out like a shotgun where we shoot out buck shots. We're pinpointing it and nailing it down so we can begin to see it accurately. And see how God, and as we do it accurately, the way God wants it done, then we'll begin to see these signs, which we are seeing, these wonders that God talks about. Every time we talk about the apostolic anointing, the prophetic anointing, is always talking about signs and wonders and healing of the sick and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. All this is part of the enemy's territory. John 10:10, the one who come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have this abundant life. But if the enemy continues to come into the kingdom of God and oppress people and put sickness and disease, put deception on people, then they cannot operate the way God set it up. So as we get the word of God and we begin to systematically apply it to our life, and then these things begin to manifest, these signs and these wonders begin to manifest in our lives. So we're establishing God's order, systematic order in what you're doing through scriptures. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, he refers to himself as the master builder. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I have one more of these duties to give you while we're going through here. Number one was together. Number two was to impart. Number three was to mobilize. Number four was to order. And number five is to judge. That's just five this week. Maybe to judge. To judge. J-U-D-G-E. Apostles bring judgment and correction to the church. They issue sentences and verdicts against false teachings and incorrect behavior. They bring verdicts against false teaching and incorrect behavior. So if you are a member of Word of Life Christian Center, our apostle comes in on Sunday morning before he begins to minister. And what do? He begins to teach us certain things. He teaches us about worship. And we teach us about the presence of God, bringing in the presence of God. And the most important thing is that you want to see when God's presence is on the scene, he always brings his provisions with him. He always brings his protection with him. He always come in with power. He's coming. He's not just coming by, you know, empty handed. When he comes, he's bringing something with him. He's bringing, like I say, some people, when they come in, they need some provision. Some people, when they come in, they need some protection. So as we worship God, he's coming in on the scene. The presence of God is one of the most important parts in a believer's life, to get God on the scene. And so then he can begin to do. Again, we as believers, we think we can operate in our faith. We've been doing great, you know, through God's mercy. We've been getting a few manifestations in our anointings. We've been getting a few manifestations. But we want the fullness of who God say he is. And that when God come in the fullness of his glory, and God's train, it fill the temple. That means God just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And so that means the fullness of his glory is going to be in our presence. As his fullness of his glory is there, then the manifestation that we're seeking from God, we can begin to see in our lives. We need to see these signs. We need to see these wonders. We need to see these miracles manifested. That's the witness that we are to portray to the world. That's the only way we're going to get the Great Commission carried out and completed, is by the body of Christ, the church itself, being trained in operating the way God set it up. And once we are trained and once we learn and go out, then we're going to mobilize and we're going to go out and we're going to carry out this Great Commission. You see, God right now, he's doing something in the earth realm. He's realigning. He said, I'm going to put my government up on his shoulder. He's talking about Jesus. And so we started off saying that it was built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. One of the things we learned about the finished work. We know that Jesus, everything that the body of Christ needs to carry out this Great Commission, Jesus have already taken care of. Everything we need, God has already provided for us through the cross, through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Everything. So we have to know that it is a finished work. It's completed. It's done already because he took care of it. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said he refers to himself as the master builder. So he understood after God called him, you know, and he was one of those who was going out persecuting the ones in the way. He knew the law. Apostle Paul knew the law. We're going to see where he, you know, but eventually he got to the point, he said everything that he knew prior to this, he counted all as dung for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that information, the revelation of him. And so the Spirit of God revealed that whole, the kingdom of God to him. And then he began to teach and train the church, the Gentiles, how to operate in the kingdom of God. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 10. First Corinthians 3 and 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereup on. He said, as a wise master, he's a wise master builder. He was what he was doing. He was taking the wisdom of God and began to build up this kingdom of God. He began to lay doctrine. He began to lay foundation. This is how we should operate in the kingdom. Jesus came along. He said, this is the new kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so we should begin to operate in the kingdom of God. Then somebody had to be trained. He called those 12 apostles. And he began to train them. He showed them. He taught them in parables how to operate in the kingdom. He made reference to the fact is that we who are in the kingdom should know the mysteries of the kingdom. So one of the disciples came to him and asked him, well, you know, why do you teach in these parables? He said, because there's certain things are hidden. It's hidden in God. And the only way we're going to get them out, I had to show them to you in parables. And then it had to be revealed to you. It's not going to be just laying on the surface. It's like gold in the rocks. You have to go in and dig that gold out. So these things of the kingdom of God have to be dug out. You know, just they're not just laying there on the top. We have to dig. We have to study. We have to thirst and hunger. God said, blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after this righteousness. He said, you shall be filled. So you have to thirst for it. It's just not laying there. You have to want it. And then once you want it, then God said, I will reveal it to you. He said, it is though God himself has given blueprints to certain individuals to reproduce heaven on earth. Those first individuals was the apostles. He gave them the blueprint. This is how it should be done. And then as you do it, the way I set it up, then you can begin to see those signs and wonders. When God gave blueprint to build the temple in the old covenant, he gave specific instructions on how he wanted his temple built. Same thing when he came over into this new covenant. He gave specific instructions on how he wants this temple. We are the temple, but this is how it should be built. It should be built up. Jesus Christ, the foundation, built up on the apostle foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So I laid the foundation. I gave these gifts. I want them to train you. I want them to mature them so they can work in the ministry. We can't just go out and work in the ministry just because we got saved, just because we got born again. We think we can work in the ministry once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we have to be trained. We have to be taught how to operate in this kingdom. And so as we are taught, then we can begin to manifest the kingdom in the earth realm. Along with these blueprints, the anointing of the apostle contains a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings in the people around him. It brings to the surface all the people who are around the apostle. Those anointings begin to come out. They begin to flow. We can see a perfect example in the book of Acts. Over in Acts chapter 6, turn to Acts chapter 6, and I always refer back to that that particular passage of scripture because I begin to see the apostolic anointing in operations when I begin to see it. The Holy Spirit begin to reveal things to you, you begin to see certain aspects of this apostolic anointing. It says in Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. You say, but we've covered this scripture. But God says, show it again. Show it as many times as it takes to hear something. I mean, when I was in school, my instructor was taken. He would show me things over and over again until we begin to get it. And so as we begin to get it, then we can begin to operate. He said in verse 12, say, and then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. What 12? There was 12 apostles. He said, called the multitude of the disciples into them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It says, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint this business, point over this business. But we will give ourselves continually. That's the apostles. They want to continually. They want to continue in prayer and in ministering of the word. They want to continue to seek heaven. They are these little menial things, these little trivia things. They want to appoint somebody else over so they can do it. They are parking lot attendants. I use that. Altar workers. All these are things that other people can do in the ministry. We're being trained to do these things. Camera operators. We're in the kingdom. We're all part of the same kingdom, but we're being trained to operate in the kingdom. What the apostles doing? He's steady seeking God. He's seeking God so that he can bring heaven to earth. We want to see that. He want to find out. That's why Jesus said, always think. Our Father which art in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we're to hunger for the kingdom of heaven here in earth. We want it to manifest here on earth. We don't want to wait till we leave here to go to heaven to see heaven operate. We want to see it here on earth. If that was the case, as soon as we got born again, we could leave here and go straight to heaven, and we've accomplished the task that we were set out to do. But we had to bring other people into the kingdom. For the work of the ministry, he said, for the maturing of the saints, work of the ministry, and for the building up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Build it up. Meaning, I wanted to see it. I want to see it grow out throughout the whole earth. When you go back to Genesis, when God brought Adam and Eve in, one of the things he said was, first of all, we understand that he created man in his own image. And then he told him to have dominion. He told him to have dominion, not just over, he said, over every creepy thing. He said, over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air. And he's saying over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. That's the first thing he told man. And he said, go out and multiply. And that means he wanted more people. He wanted the whole earth to look like the kingdom of God. And so when Adam sinned and committed high treason, gave up everything to the enemy, God had to find a way to bring this kingdom back into the earth. And through Jesus Christ, he showed us how to do it again through Jesus. And he wanted his kingdom to operate in the earth realm. And the only way it's going to happen is through individuals who hearing the word of God, who's allowing God to become obedient to God, submitting to God's order, his government, and then begin to see those things manifest in the earth realm. That's the only way it's going to happen. And so God said, God promised in his word. He said, my glory is going to fill the earth. So I want to be part of that. I want to be, whether you do it or not, he said, God said, I'm going to find somebody to do it. I can find a donkey if I need to. He said, but I want you to be part of it. And so when he says something, we be obedient to what he tells us to do, and then we begin to see God operate. It's not us. We can't do it anyway, but it's God operating through us. I heard our minister, Dr. D. Montreal say, when God uses you, and it's like a pipeline, it flows through you, and then that residue rubs off on you, and it oils you. So when it comes through you as the pipeline, then that which God is sending out to the world also come off on you. So you're not seeking those. He told us, first of all, Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, his righteousness. I got that Wednesday night. I was sitting, I just sit here and I just eat up the word of God as the apostles ministering. And when we talk about righteousness, one of the things that we always talked about, righteousness is the right way of doing things, being in right standing with God. Righteousness means that I have a right to every promise this Bible has to offer. I have a right to it. And so since I know I have a right to it, I can make demands on those rights. That's what Jesus talked about in John 14. He can make demand. Whatever you ask in his name, he said he'll do it. So we have a right to everything that this Bible has promised us because we are in right standing with the Father. Second Corinthians 5:21. We know we're in right standing. Word of God has told us. He told us that. He said, he who knew no sin. Talk about Jesus. God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I am the righteousness of God. Since I am the righteousness of God because I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I have a right to everything that this Bible promises me. Everything that's, every promise in this Bible is yea and amen to us who believe. I am a believer. And so when the Bible promised me that, because he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities, and with his stripes I'm healed, that I have a right to healing. I have a right to help. See, healing is not God's best. Health is God's best. God wants us healthy. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou is prosper, that thy soul may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul. 3 John 2, as your soul prospers. So he wants us in health. He don't want us going around seeking. We who are in the body. If we're operating according to the way God set it up. Amen. He said, as those around the apostle begin to manifest their own unique anointings, it creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder realize the blueprints of heaven. Turn to Acts chapter 6 again. We're over there and look at verse 8. We got these names of those individuals that was called to be table waiters here in verse 5. It's saying, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose certain individuals. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was not an apostle, but he was continuing in that process, in that apostolic anointing. So that apostolic anointing came off on him. It was imparted to him that those signs and wonders, that he could do the same thing that the apostles did. Let's look at another one. Let's look at over at Acts chapter 8. Looking at Acts 8:5, it says, Philip, this was another one of those table waiters, one of those who was around the apostles, and one of those that the apostle appointed. He says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. What he was doing, he was teaching what Jesus was teaching and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Acts 10:38. That's what he was preaching. He said he was preaching Christ to them. He goes on to say, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. This is a supernatural kingdom. When we come into the kingdom, we begin to operate in the kingdom, we've got to be able to see signs and wonders and miracles in the kingdom. That's what this is about. This is a supernatural kingdom. We are to get above the natural. Miracles and signs should be as natural to us as breathing. When you don't think about breathing, you just do it in and out, as you're walking in your everyday life, you're in and out. Signs and wonders should be as natural to us as breathing. We know when we walk into the enemy's territory and an enemy has someone oppressed, that we can eliminate it, just like Jesus did. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. And so we should be able to do those exact same works like he did. When Jesus walked up on a blind eye, guess what? That eye was no longer blind. He found a way to eliminate that blindness. When he walked up on a deaf ear, he found a way to eliminate it. He walked into Satan's territory and he began to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 said Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so, he took this kingdom. Adam gave it up to him. Through Jesus Christ, he came back and gave it back to us so we had to operate in it the way he set it up. Let's look at another verse here. Verse 5. He say, and with verse 7 says, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that was lame were healed. It looks like every time that, in the kingdom, is always talking about healing and talking about being oppressed by the enemy. So that's part of our duty. That's part of our MO, our mode of operation. We should be operating that way in the kingdom of God. We're not operating in that way. We're not operating the way that God set it up. And so we're just going through the motions. We're operating under man's wisdom. And so if we operate under man's wisdom, again, the results that we get are man's wisdom results. One more here in Acts chapter 26. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And this is the same Philip again. And like I said, this apostolic anointing should come out from you. And so you should be mobilized to go and do something. Here this Philip again, who was teaching Christ down in the city. It's in verse 26, and it says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, and a eunuch of a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot and was reading. He was reading the prophet Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep. That's over in Isaiah 53, 4, 5, and then around that area. And then right before that, he was reading it, where it say, but he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised. Somebody have to tell us that. Somebody have to know. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was up on him. And with his stripes, I am healed. That was a photo. A scripture that was before Jesus came into the earth, and so it was prophesied that these things was happening to him. And so then the Ethiopian asked him, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or he's talking about somebody else? And so Philip began to again teach Christ to him. He began to teach him about Jesus and what would happen when he come, what would happen when he manifested, how he was going to come and take away all my sins, how he was going to come and take away all my iniquities, how he was going to come and take away all of my diseases, and how I could be healed. And so, and then the Ethiopian, he believed. And so now he wanted to be baptized. And so he found water and they baptized him. As you read through the scripture, I'm just sort of paraphrasing right now because for time's sake. But he was baptized. He got saved. But this one Ethiopian could have went all the way back to Ethiopia because Philip went and taught him and trained him. That's what we are trained for, the work of the ministry. Philip, even though he was not an apostle, he operated under that apostolic anointing, and he, by one man, a whole continent could have been saved because of this one Ethiopian. So we are the same thing. We are to train, we are to teach, we are to learn, and as we learn, we are to go out and do what God tell us to do. And as we do what God tell us to do, then other people, we are influencing our environment, everything that's around us. That's who we are. We are to change the environment. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Father God. Father God, we told your people what we wanted them to hear, Father. And they're no longer just hearers, but they are now becoming doers of what you tell us to do, Father. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We didn't even get a meditation scripture for tonight, so we're good to go. Glory to God.